podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
So keep your mouth by your speakers.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
What's the story this week? Am I fucking your woman? I'm fucked up on oxy pills.
Let's go. Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com. We are also on XRPRadio.co.uk out of the Highlands of Scotland, OldiesXL.com, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, MegaRockRadio.net, and KFGD 107.1 FM out of St. Louis, Missouri. We are on RootaRooRadio.com. In Ocean Beach, San Diego, California. And right here in this room is Build the Scene Radio. It's buildthescene.com/radio, Leechburg, Pennsylvania. It's a thriving metropolis. Anyone who's been here will very likely laugh at that. This is episode number 652 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. The two songs you just heard were Chippin' the Charge Ups and their new single, Paying Back the Devil. We followed that up with Overload in Stereo. And I have to apologize to that band because I tucked them away in a folder back in August and forgot about it and just found it tonight. But that track is called Something Else. And joining me tonight for episode number 652 is John from The Anxiety Effect. What's up, John?
How's it going, Bill? Thanks for having me.
Not too bad. I always said Anxiety at Best, which is a band here in Pittsburgh.
I noticed you sharing something about them not so long. I was like, oh wait, is that us? No, that's not us. And I continued reading. I was like, oh, it's another band.
Their bass player, actually, when I posted this show, sent me a message and goes, there's a band called Anxiety Effect. And I was like, yeah, I got to check them out.
Yeah. It's not used in very many names, so it's interesting to see another band pop up. When I see it, I'm just like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll go and chat with those guys, see what they're all about.
So let's start there, since we're talking band names. How did you come up with the band name?
Well, the band itself, started back in 2011, and the lineup that I was that I had at that point, they came up with the guitar players that I had. Their names were Bill and Dane, and Dane actually was using the Anxiety Effect as like a kind of like an online screen. I don't know, it was a gamer tag or an email address or something. And they got to talking about it, and the idea and the concept behind it that he had, we were like, you know, that's kind of like a cool name and a cool concept. Maybe we should name that the band. So that's kind of where the name originated from, was from them.
Cool. And let's get this out of the way, because I mentioned all the different locations. Whereabouts is your band from?
Okay. It's kind of weird, because it's like there's a regional area that a lot of bands from this area are from, but we're technically based out of Bradford, Pennsylvania. It's about 3 hours outside of Pittsburgh. But there's a bunch of like smaller areas around it that are not technically Bradford, but a lot of people say that they're from Bradford when they're from that area. And there's a lot of musicians that have been coming from, you know, this region. So, but yeah, it's technically Bradford, Pennsylvania.
I'm like 35 minutes outside of Pittsburgh, and I don't even try. Like, I say Leechburg now, like, you know, I say here, broadcasting from Leechburg, but yeah. Anytime I'm out, somebody goes, where? I'm like, oh, you know, like Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Just, so just drop the name that's close by and that everybody knows.
But that's why I do that little joke about the thriving metropolis. Leechburg has two red lights. Two. I think I looked it up. I think there are 2,200 people here.
I think I haven't checked recently, but I know at one point we were at least at about 7,000 to 8,000, maybe even closer to 10. But yeah, it's not a very big town at all. Like Walmart and Bradford's famous for Zippo lighters.
Walmart is 15 minutes from here.
Yeah, we got one about 10 or 15 from where I'm at, but there's one located right in town. But our claim to fame in town is the Zippo lighters that have been used in Hollywood movies for years. It's the factory's actually based right here in town, so.
I have a Zippo Hot Tour Zippo lighter somewhere.
Yeah, we had a couple of Zippo events just recently. I think it was before the COVID thing. Actually, Corey Taylor and Stone Sour were here doing they stopped at the outside of the museum, the Zippo museum that we have in town, and they played a quick set while they were in the area. So that was pretty cool.
So you mentioned that you do the recording, and I don't want you to get too into detail there,
right?
And I feel not yet, at least. But I have this question about pizza, and I alluded to it earlier when you asked me what we might talk about. And the question is, what's the best pizza you've had because you're a musician? And that it could be at a recording session, at a gig, at a writing session. Just you have to find a way to say, I had this pizza, and it's related to music because.
Yeah, that's a tough one, I think, because it's like I haven't done a whole lot of music related stuff outside of studio work the last few years, but
I was almost hoping you were going to tell me DiGiorno.
No, I gotta go with if we're talking about like something that, you know, I think a lot of the times that when we were doing anything band related, we were usually it was here in town. I'd say probably my favorite is probably still here in town. It's a place called Taste of Pizza, just here in Bradford. A lot of recording sessions or like get togethers, like after parties and stuff at some of the shows that we've done. Like that's usually our go-to place. So I'd have to go with that.
I want to mention something real quick for any of you that are watching on Facebook through group. There's a link at the end that you need to click to approve for us to see your name. Someone is trying to talk to you, but I don't know who it is.
I'm not really sure. I'm trying to find. I've got a couple of the windows open here. I got the YouTube thing and the Facebook one open, but I can't really see any chat or anything going on. So,
well, if you look at the bottom of our screen right now, I just popped up what they were saying, but it's his Facebook user. So I don't know who it is.
Oh, it's okay. It's Darren Corey. He's he's one of the locals that come to the shows a lot back in the day. Huge music supporter. One of the venues we played at was in a town not too far from here called Limestone, New York. And you actually have to drive on a freeway to get there. It's probably about a 15-minute drive from where I'm at. That's taking the expressway. That dude walked from in town down that freeway to get to the show because he didn't have a way to get there. And I was like, dude, I'm like, just tell us next time. We'll come and get you. But yeah, he's definitely hardcore. He loves music, and he's been to almost all the local shows that I've been a part of anyway.
Also, there's Charlie Doyle. I want to say hello to him too. He's
okay.
The other one.
Yeah. Him and Darren are good friends. I haven't actually met him in person yet, but he's another big music guy.
Charlie, I have met.
Okay.
A couple times. He is looking to do a show, a benefit show. If anybody's listening, wants to get in contact with him. I don't know all the details, but I'm sure you can contact him on Facebook. Hey, another odd question for you. Sort of. If you could sit down to dinner with any four people in history, one has to be a musician. No other rules on the other ones.
Okay.
What four people are you inviting to that table?
Musician-wise, did they have to be – is it like anybody? Like live, anybody. Dead, anybody?
It could be in the history of the world.
Well, if I'm going to go with a musician, I'd have to go with probably my biggest influence over time. It'd have to be Maynard Keenan from Tool, just because that guy is just interesting in general, just outside of music with all the stuff that he's into. History-wise, that's I don't know, man. That's a tough one. It's one of those things where it's like I'm into a lot of like history stuff, but it's the thing is like we've changed like a lot of the history that we know of is like has been changed or altered. So if I were to talk to the people that were like a part of history that are no longer with us and get answers from, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'd probably have to go with like at least either Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. Be like, okay, tell me how this all started, because it's not where we are now, you know. Other than that, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. There's just too many names that I don't think four people would be enough. I really don't. That's just because I have so many things that I want to. I'm like one of those guys. It's like, how did we get here? Knowing just how much has changed over like the last 20 years. That's just one of those things where I just be like, it's just too many people. Too many people would have to be at that table in order for me to really enjoy that.
So Chuck Kohler, is that how you say his last name?
Yes, Chuck Kohler.
Piped in that you have a killer new single, and Chuck, we're going to be playing that later in the show, so you'll want to stick around.
Yeah, he's another big supporter of ours. He actually we were covered in the local paper, and I was having a hard time getting a really good version of that online. And he actually scanned it in and edited it up for us and made it all look really nice and professional. So, and he's a really good close personal friend of mine. And he's done a lot of really, he's big, huge music guy. He's introduced me to some really killer bands from like the UK area and stuff that I've never heard of. So he's a real big music guy. I love him. He's a cool dude.
So I'm going to hit you with the official Build to Sing question early.
Okay.
It is, who is your Dave Grohl? And what I mean by that is, what musician would you want to go up on stage with and perform one of their originals?
I mean, Dave Grohl himself is pretty badass too. So it's, I mean, you know, I have so many influences over the years that I think that if we're talking a live, I would probably have to go with Maynard or Danny Carey from Tool, just because they're my go-to group. They always have been. I've been a fan of theirs since I was 14, 15 years old. But if we're talking passed on, like not alive anymore, I'd probably have to say maybe Kurt Cobain, because he was a huge influence on me and my other bandmate, Rick. We started out, actually, it's kind of funny you mentioned Dave Grohl, because it's like we became friends because of a debate that we had in junior high school about Kurt Cobain, Nirvana, and Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters ordeal. And it was kind of like we were poking at each other in a negative way, and then we kind of just like morphed into a friendship because of that. So it's kind of interesting that you use that name. But yeah, I'd have to say, you know, for a live musician, probably Maynard from Tool. And if we're talking past on, I'd probably say Kurt Cobain from Nirvana.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, listen to two more tracks. And we're going to come back with, come back with John momentarily.
Oh,
All right, so those were two brand new songs, The Pennsylvania Rock Show and Build the Scene. The first track you heard was Storms Within and their band, or their song, Endgame. They are a female band, female hard rock and metal band from the Pittsburgh area. And the second track you heard, you got to hear John's vocals on the song Roots from The Anxiety Effect. And what we're going to do now is we're going to give John his MTV moment where he can tell us, he can do a storyteller's thing.
Sure. What do we got here?
So what can you tell us about the song Roots?
Well, if we're talking about the song itself or the actual recording process or both.
You can do both if you want.
Okay. The actual recording process itself, it's like we do everything with my gear here. It's a combination between at my house and at my guitar player, bass player slash drummer's house. And I say that because it's right now, it's just two of us that are actually like writing and recording the music. And you know, with schedules being, you know, tight the way they are, cause he's in another band and he's got a pretty big family and stuff. So his time is like very limited. So we end up ping ponging between the two, and you know, with the power of the internet and technology these days, it's a lot easier to do than what it was back in the day. And I say that, I'm 39 now and I've been doing this since I was 14. So to like, to be a part of that, you know, all these different, generations of technology and stuff that have come through, it's been a lot easier to do. We ended up, basically ping pong files between his house and mine. The majority of it is usually done at his place, but we do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of vocal stuff and whatnot here. The process is it's very long. I mean, Roots itself, I think we started that 2 years ago. It was like the summer of 2020, I think, is when the foundation of that song started to come together. The song itself, I don't know. I think we spent probably a good 4 or 5 months building the structure to the point where we were able to say, okay, this is the final tracks. And now we can like move on to like the actual post-production stuff and adding the spices to it. So the song itself is everything that I tend to write about is pretty personal. That'll hit home for a lot of people as far as how they can relate to it. But the general idea of the song is based on a personal situation. And it's, I have a lot of problems where, I spend a lot of time thinking about negative people and how like you're supposed to be loyal to certain people and like, especially within family. And a lot of the times it's like, you know, a lot of the, cause it's angry, aggressive music a lot of the time. So it's like, you want to pull from that. And the song itself is based off of a real life event that occurred between me and, you know, somebody very close to me. And it's just, it's one of those where it's like, you know, you have this deep rooted relationship and it's being ruined because of just horrible things that are going on around you that nobody seems to want to take care of. that's the best description I can get without going into too much detail, just because it's like, it was an older event and it's past and whatnot, but the song itself, it has really helped, you know, pull a lot of the aggression and frustration I had with the situation out. It's kind of like a therapy session basically. But yeah, the song itself was honestly, I was not expecting this song to be the one that like got people's attention. I thought our first single that we released in June, Visions of Doubt, was going to do that. But I guess I think it's just one of those timing things where like we use that song to kind of build a little bit of an audience up that we were back at it and doing stuff. And then Roots came out and it just, we've been getting a lot of really positive feedback and some good number of hits on it. So it's pretty exciting.
I have, and I can't remember the titles, but I have, I think, two other tracks from you.
Yeah. I was actually in touch with you a couple of years ago when I did my, I don't know if it was before or after I did my EP I released in 2020. And when I say me, it was because like, I'm really the only person that is actually like in the group now. That I had a bunch of studio musicians basically that worked on that with me. I think that the ones that you might've been the original version of Lockdown and maybe The Fall. Those might be the two, but I actually, in 2020, I re-released those. I did some different vocal takes on them. The music itself was pretty much the same with a few edits. And then the third song that's on that EP, Neon Raid, was actually, you know, brought up from scratch. And I had, I want to say four or five other people working on that specific track with me, including my, my good friend, Mark, did the drums for that originally. And then, one of my older band members from another previous band, Nick Freer, he actually wrote the main guitar lick for that. And then my producer, Josh, who does all the mixing and mastering for us, actually rewrote some of the guitar stuff and the drum stuff and tightened everything up and made the song what it came out to be on the actual master.
Cool. So you're sitting on a bench. Imagine Forrest Gump here, sitting on a bench.
And, oh boy.
And your musical idol sits down next to you and tells you that you can ask them one question. Who are you speaking with and what question are you asking?
I hate to keep going back to it, but you know, it's got to be Maynard from Tool. He's my guy. I'd probably ask him if he could train me in jiu-jitsu, because that's one of the things that he does. And it's like I hear him talking about it. He's done interviews and stuff on it, and like just the amount of focus and energy you got to have for something like that. That's something I wish that I could partake in. It's just, you know, the guy to me is just incredible. You know, between the wine vineyard, the music and the jiu-jitsu and just his philosophy outlook on life is just, it's just, he's just a very interesting individual to me. And that's probably the first thing I'd ask him, like, you know, train me in some jiu-jitsu so I can, you know, defend myself. 'Cause you're not supposed to pick fights with people when you do the martial arts. So you gotta say you're just defending yourself.
He is from Pennsylvania originally, if I remember correctly.
I can't remember. I know that he's been out in LA and then Arizona for the last 15, 20 years. And he pretty much hates LA. He talks about how much he hates LA, and I've never been there myself, but it's, you know, it doesn't seem like some place I would really specifically want to live. I grew up in the hills of Pennsylvania my whole life. So it's, you know, I like being a little secluded.
You know, he sings about learning to swim because of the...
Yeah, wanting LA to fall into the ocean from an earthquake. Yeah.
The science teacher in me knows that that's not what will happen because of the way that the tectonic plates are.
Right.
But it's still funny.
Right. I think a lot of that content off that album is based off of the comic of Bill Hicks too, because there's a lot of references to him in the artwork and stuff. So I think that he had a whole bit about what would happen if California, you know, shook off the rest of the states and sunk. And I think that's where a lot of the stuff that they did for that album came from, was his stand up. So.
Kiss played in a bay in Australia to great white sharks. And Metallica played in a dome in Antarctica. What is one non-standard venue that you would like to play at some point? So basically anywhere. I mean, they played in Antarctica and to sharks, so you could say anything at this point.
Yeah. That's I don't really know, man. I haven't been on a stage since like 2014, and it's not because I haven't wanted to. It's one of the things that's like, you know, we're just shorthanded on musicians and availability these days around here. Almost anywhere at this point, but if I had to pick an oddball place, that's an oddball question. I don't know, man. That's weird. I can't really think. It's kind of a cliche answer, but I think just anywhere where there'd be an audience, I really wouldn't know how to answer that. Just to be back at it, I think would be, you know, I really wouldn't care where it was.
I'm going to make this a little easier on you. What's that grand stage that you want to play on?
Some outdoor arena with 70,000-80,000 people. I can't give you a specific name, but yeah, just some sort of outdoor festival with just lined with bands and people, just sea of people everywhere. I probably wouldn't go as far as like, you know, the Pantera era where they were playing for like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. Cause that, you know, you don't really see that kind of stuff anymore unless if there's, you know, 40, 50 bands on the bill. But yeah, anywhere that where there's just a sea of people where like, if I were to decide to, even at my age, try to run and dive into the crowd, I wouldn't feel like I might be committing suicide on my way down because there wouldn't be enough people to catch me. But yeah, other than that, it, you know, just pretty much anywhere where there was a sea of people, it's something I've never experienced. I think the most people that I've played in front of was maybe 500 to 700 at one show. And that was the peak of it. But yeah, it, you know, like I said, I haven't played a show since 2014. So it's one of those things where like, I'm itching to get back out there if I can, and any venue. But yeah, I'd say that if I were going to do the grand scheme of things, it's just anywhere, big outdoor venue with sea of people and just a bunch of my favorite bands on the bill. That'd be the best way to describe it.
Cool. We're going to take one more short break. We're going to play one song and we're going to come back with John. We're going to hear from the Borstal Boys with their song that was released on Christmas Day, Need My Friends. And we'll be right back. Yeah, that was the Borstal Boys and their song Need My Friends, brand new, only about a little over a week old, 2 weeks old, released on Christmas Day, in case you missed that earlier. If you're just tuning in, with me is John from the band The Anxiety Effect. For those of you that have listened to the show before, I'm sure you can tell that my voice is not all there. I have been sick pretty much since the day that the Borstal Boys released that song. not really, but about a week now.
It's going around, man.
Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, so we have one more segment with John. I promise that I will ask you at least one normal question, John. but not this one.
Okay.
Okay. So you're leaving your house after recording a brand new song. And
sounds pretty normal so far.
Hold on. And there's a DeLorean sitting there with its door up in the air and a flux capacitor in the back seat.
Oh, God.
So you can go anywhere in time. Where are you going and what band are you going to hang out with while you're there?
I have to go to probably 1994, and I'd probably have to pick the Unplugged concert from Nirvana, and I'm taking my boy Rick with me, my bandmate, because like I said, you know, earlier, we grew up on that, and that time period and that genre of music was a huge influence on us, and we definitely wouldn't be, we wouldn't have became friends, and we wouldn't be doing what we're doing together now without it. So, and the weird part about it is I actually didn't really know much about Nirvana until after Kurt's death. So, I would definitely want to go back in time when they were thriving and be a part of it. And that performance is such an iconic performance that it's one of those things where, you know, if I've watched, I bought the DVD when they finally released it, like in 2007, and I watched it many, many times, and I watched all the rehearsals and stuff. And it's like, the amount of energy that was in that room. Yeah, that would be my go-to place, I think.
The first time I heard Nirvana, it was on a cassette. So.
Yeah. No, I was just breaking. I was just breaking into CDs at that point as a teenager, a young teenager, like probably like 13. Yeah. There
could be people listening right now. They're going, oh, what?
Yeah. No, there's been a lot of those little situations that have been coming up in conversations lately. I'm just like, man, am I really that old? Like, I mean, come on. But yeah, that's, you know, our generation, the generation that Rick and I are involved in, we're probably the last generation that's going to see all the different physical forms of media and how it transferred from one to the other into the digital world. So
I had an 8-track as a kid.
I did too. 8-track vinyl. I've seen, and I've been such a tech geek over the years. I think I've done something on every format there is, you know, mini DVs, the videotapes, VHS. I even had the mini disc stuff when I was a teenager. So it's like, I mean, I think I've hit almost every single format, and, you know, to watch where we are now, it's just crazy.
I am. My daughter for Christmas got, this is a really cool thing. It's called Leesta Vall Records, LEESTA, and then VALL.
Okay. Records.
You'll want to look that up. What they do is they do one-off recordings, so unique track.
Okay.
And then they put it on a vinyl.
All right. Record. Okay.
And my daughter got one from a local band called Black Ridge for Christmas. And they do, like, they'll do a custom intro, like where they talk to the person before they record it. So they literally get a unique song, like it's one of their originals, but it's, you know, there's a salutation to the person that it's for.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's something that I've always wanted. Like I'm still a physical media guy. I try to, you know, even if I don't have physical copies, I like to have at least the digital files on a hard drive. I do have Spotify account and whatnot. I do enjoy the benefits of streaming, but it's like, you know, that stuff might not be there one day. God forbid that, you know, the system crashes or the internet goes down everywhere or whatever. But, you know, the thing is like, I've always been, I mean, I've got a decent vinyl collection. I still have a lot of my CDs from when I was younger. It's just something I just can't part with. There's just something about the artwork and about the liner notes and things like that, that I, you know, if we were to ever release anything on a physical platform, I'd like to be able to have like a whole slew of all that stuff, like a vinyl copy of an EP or something, you know, just to have it, even if it was just for myself and not something we actually tried to sell.
So I still do have one normal question, at least, that I will ask you before we're done.
Okay.
But again, talk this one. There's an apocalyptic event, and it wipes out all but a handful of people on Earth. and all but one song from every band. Which the anxiety effect song should survive and help repopulate the earth?
Well, we don't have a whole lot to choose from. The library of our stuff isn't that deep yet, but like I said earlier, I was kind of hoping that you know, when we released, because when we released Visions, we hadn't really been active that much. I released the 3-song EP in 2020 without a full band. It was basically just a studio project. And then we kind of rebooted the sound and the identity of the group with Visions of Doubt and now with Roots. So if I'm going on like what I personally would like to see, I would have to say Visions of Doubt, just because I thought that I mean, I like both songs, but I thought that Visions of Doubt, the way that we pieced it together and put the amount of energy and time we put into it and making sure that we added different elements, that one hit a little bit harder home for me. And I think that it's one of those songs that like we've seen people like trending towards a little bit since the release of Roots. So I think it's kind of like a timing thing. We kind of built up a little bit of anticipation with that song. And then when Roots hit, more people were paying attention to what we were doing. And then it kind of took off from there. I would probably have to pick Visions of Doubt, just because I think that kind of has a mixture of everything that we're trying to do with the newer stuff. Roots is it's a more hard hitting, upbeat, faster song. That's, you know, it's more energetic based, where Visions kind of has like that roller coaster thing where, like, you know, it's got the heavier verses, the more up-tempo verse. And then it kind of dips down into a calmer chorus that's still got some energy. And, you know, we added some synth sounds and different stuff to it. So I think that one has like a best representation of what we would want to be left behind, I guess, if in that event. But I think I think that song is going to represent the best of all worlds of what we're trying to accomplish with the newer stuff that we're working on.
Tell me about an embarrassing moment you've had as a musician.
Well, there's been a lot of them. I'm 39 now, and I started when I was 14. Are we talking like, like moments on stage or at a show, or
normally that's how I would ask it, but I didn't, because you said,
right. Well, yeah, it's been a while, but no, I was actively playing for the second band I was in. We were all over the region for a good 5 years. So I won't say that this is the most embarrassing, but it was definitely the most scary. We were, at the time, the band I was in, it was called 0.1. We were sponsored by Jägermeister. And a part of the agreement with the marketing crew at Jäger was that we had to promote the drink while we were on stage. So we, you know, kind of had to drink it. And I'm not a drinker. I never really have been. And I was kind of like suckered into it a little bit. And it got to the point where we were like told, you know, if you're drinking it while you're on stage, it's good publicity and good promo. So, you know, you'll get in their good graces. So we started to, there was a show that we did. It was an outdoor. It was just like this giant pig roast. And it was like this big outdoor thing. The stage was pretty big. There was about 400 or 500 people there. And there was a pack of bikers that showed up. And I was not completely sober by the end of our set, and I said something I shouldn't have to one of them, because they weren't like moving around or anything, and the other kids, you know, there was a bunch of kids there and younger adults there, you know, there was mosh pits and stuff like that going on, and I kind of popped off and said the wrong thing to one of them. And long story short, without any of the details, we got in the van and hightailed it out of there pretty quick. I guess I was a little bit embarrassed too, because it's like, you know, I'm not known to be a drinker. And it didn't take long for me to be half in the bag. Like, I took like maybe 2 shots by the end of the set. I don't remember what happened. I had to, you know, the guys in the band had to like be like, you know, you got a little out of hand of that, you know, we kind of got in some trouble. And I was just like, yeah, okay, well, I'm done. Empty the bottle the next show and just filled up with Coke or something, and I'll just drink that instead. So, yeah. When I found out what happened the next day, when they were looking for me. The group, the couple of the bikers in the group there, they were looking for me. So I was a little embarrassed when I found out about that, because there was a lot of people that was with us that were just like, dude, you kind of went overboard. And I was just like, ugh. Yeah, what? Not my finest moment. So I'd have to say that was probably one of the ones that stands out. Yeah.
If someone in your region, or anyone for that matter, would want to talk to you about joining the band, or if someone that's been listening and has heard the new single Roots would like to track you down, where can they find you?
The best place to go would be our website, theanxietyeffect.net. All of our socials and all of our main stuff is linked to that. There's not a whole lot on the website. It's basically just a portal to find everything that we have online. Like all of our music and stuff's on there. And most importantly, all the major places we're on the internet is linked on that page or on that website. On that note, if there is somebody in the region that, you know, like, again, we're in the Bradford, Pennsylvania area. We are actively looking for other musicians to jump in. We have a couple guys that locally that might be interested, but we still, you know, we need other guys to fill in the other spots. As of right now, my buddy Rick, who's in the project with me, he's probably going to be on drums for this. That's where his heart's at. I mean, he's a musician of, he kind of hits on everything when it comes to the recording process. He's doing, you know, we work on the drums together through like MIDI programs and stuff like that. And then, you know, he's actually smashing out the beats, and then we program them because we don't really have the setup right now to do it with like an electronic drum kit or anything like that to kind of trigger him in. But he's writing the drum parts. We work on those together a lot. And then he basically writes and records all the bass, all the guitars. But when it comes to wanting to play out, he really has his heart set on being behind the kit. So we have a potential guitar player lined up. There's gonna be some scheduling conflicts and whatnot, because Rick's also in another band locally. They're called Darkwater Duo. They play all over the region. It's more of a cover thing. They have some originals too. They're doing like, it's like they do a lot of acoustic stuff as the duo with just him and the other guy. But then they also do full band gigs where they're doing like full electronic or full electric, you know, guitars and whatnot for full sets. So there's a lot of juggling around there to do schedule wise, but if there is somebody that's watching and they're interested in what we're doing, we will probably need at least one guitar player and a bass player. And if they're within the region within a couple hours and they don't have a problem driving to us or setting up full rehearsals and learning what they can remotely, you know, we'll talk to anybody who's actually willing to jump on it with us, because we really want to get out there again. So
I want to thank you for hanging out with me on episode 652.
Thanks for having me, man. I enjoyed it. I had fun.
And John and I are going to hang out for a moment. The rest of you are going to get to hear one more track. It is a brand new track to the show and station. It is from James Levere. It is kind of a country rock, southern rock kind of track. It's called Hell of a Ride. And after that, you will hear from John American Hill, Jack Lane, who will tell you how to subscribe, leave comments, all that kind of stuff. At that point, the show has ended. That doesn't mean you should leave the stations that you're listening on, because you never know. You might find your next favorite unsigned and independent artist. With that said, I will catch you next week. And make sure you go check out the Anxiety Effect at theanxietyeffect.net.
Thanks a lot, Bill, for having me. I enjoyed it. Through life.
child past the county line. You send my heart to the river limit every time. Turn every dangerous curve that we go through. You send my world from a gentle part to a full throttle rocket times two. It's a hell of a ride going through life with you. You could tell me heaven's up around the bend, and I'd just turn it around and do it all again. It's a hell of a ride going through life with you. Every twist and swerve, every dangerous curve that we go through. You send my world from a gentle purr to a full throttle rocket times two. Yeah. And it's a hell of a ride going through life. It's a hell of a ride going through life with you. It's a hell of a ride going through life with you.
Tell us that story.
Yeah, it's a hell of a ride.
Tell us a story about the chicken.
And it's a hell of a ride.
Get on, girl.
The girl is crazy. It's a hell of a ride.
I'm like frying chicken on the fast food.
Yeah, it's a hell.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.